Father, we love you. We love you not only because you first love us, God, but it is just the best thing to do. Loving you, God, when we love you, we feel peace. Yeah. When we love you, God, we feel in the middle of the storm a sense of peace that surpasses all understanding. God, we love you so much. The truth is sometimes we don't show it. The truth is sometimes we don't act like it. Sometimes we just don't know how to show it. Sometimes our flesh is going one way and our hearts or mind is going somewhere else. It's like we have a small desire to do good and a large desire to do that which is not good, Father. But God, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy that it's not dependent on how we show that we love and adore you. We thank you, God, that when we don't deserve it, you still grant us peace and love and joy. We thank you, God, that there's absolutely nothing we could do that would make us deserve your love. So we ask you this morning to pour down some blessings on us, that you would open heaven, open our minds, and pour in it a spirit, God, that would cause us to understand this word that you have for us today. God, we expect great things. We expect, God, that you will move in this place. So move in every heart that's in this room, every person that's online. God, move in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Happy Sabbath, everybody. Happy Sabbath, everybody. Y'all, when Rachel said happy Sabbath, y'all did better than that. I need to go up here? Rachel said, good morning and happy Sabbath, everybody. All right. It's up here. That's what it is. Or maybe it's Rachel. I don't know. She mentioned that we're not having Vespers this afternoon. So we won't be having Vespers this afternoon. But I want to invite you next week. So I'm going to say next week for Vespers. We're having an in-person Vespers next week. A matter of fact, we're going on a hike. So that's amazing. You don't want to miss it. We're going to meet here next week. We have lunch next week. Yo, so we do have lunch. So I don't know if you want to bring a change of clothes. We have lunch. We can socialize. Whatever you want to do. If you want to leave, come back. And then we're going to leave here about 3:45. Somebody say 3:45. We're going to carpool. We're going to go somewhere. And we're going to go on a prayer walk. So it's going to be amazing. You don't want to miss it. If you are watching online, I invite you to come out and join us next week. We're leaving here at what time, everybody? What time, everybody? 3:45. So come out for next week, Vespers. Also, tomorrow, we're having a work day. So we've been trying to finish this beautification project. And I'm happy to say we will, at the very least, be maybe 80%, 60%-ish, right, David? I don't know. Complete tomorrow? About more than 60%, I'd say. Yeah. So maybe 80% complete tomorrow. The bulk of the work, we're going to do it tomorrow. So we need some hands. So bring the kids, bring gentlemen, bring ladies. Everybody is welcome. You know, we'll give you gloves so you don't get your nails dirty and everything, and we'll get some work done. Amen? We meet here tomorrow at 1. We want to start at 1. So if you can get here about 12:50, that will be amazing. Pastor brings his greetings. He's not here today. He will be with us next week. Now, I want to, last year, we did a summer school series, and that format was amazing. I loved it. So this morning, it will be the same format. So I see we have about three groups, you know, I'm going to divide y'all in three. And so I'm going to give you guys 20 seconds to turn around and choose a name, all right? Choose a name for your group. Get to know the person behind you, beside you. If you haven't talked to them yet, now is your chance. You can talk to them right now. So talk to those who are in this side. Get together. Talk to those who are on that side. Get together. Exchange some names and choose a name for your group. Choose a name for your group. You got 10 seconds. Choose a name. Five, four, three, two, one. All right, all right. Now, Sam, I'm going to ask you for a favor. I want you to get three mics, and you're going to distribute it to each group. Three mics, one for each group. What is the name for this group here? What's the name? Lion of Judah, or the Lion of Judah. Oh, this is a long name now. It's a long name. The Tribe of the Lion of Judah. All right, the Tribe of the Lion of Judah. Karen, what's the name of the group? You will let Andre say it. All right, Andre, what's the name? Y'all need another second to y'all look like. Oh, okay. What's the name of what's the name of the group? Rachel, what's the name of the group? What's the name? What's the name of the group? Come on, we got to keep moving. We don't have a lot of time. What's the name of the group? The Fum-Fums.
The
Fum-Fums. The Fum-Fums.
Because sometimes all you can do is let out a groan, but God understands.
Like a sigh.
Yeah.
So the hmm-hums.
The
hmm-hums. The hmm-hums.
Like at HMPHS, the hmm-hums.
Everybody, y'all heard? Online, thank you so much for joining us. I don't have anything else to say. I'm just going to move to this group. What's the name of this group here?
It's a collaborative effort, and we came up with Sparkle for Jesus.
Okay, I thought for a second the name of the group was the Collaborative. I thought that. I honestly thought. All right, so Sparkles for Jesus.
Sparkle for Jesus.
Sparkles for Jesus. The Andre, the. All right. And we have the book of Daniel. The entire book of Daniel is this side right here. All right. So we're going to in this format, you'll get a chance to work within your groups a little bit. We're going to dialogue. You know, you'll be able to ask questions. You'll be able to give and share your thoughts. And so we're going to do that this morning. I want you, everybody should have this thing right here. All right? Be it an iPhone, or the other one, you know, everybody, take it out, you gotta take it out, turn the flashlight on and wave it. I'm kidding, don't do that. Take the phone out, if you have a phone, take your phone out. You got a phone, Kenz? All right, good. Take your phone out, it's not something we typically do. Because, you know, us Christians, we don't use our phones, and you know, right? We don't use our phones in church, we don't do that. Only the Bible app, only the thing we use is the Bible. So take your phones out, and you're going to open your phone. I'm going to give you instructions, tell you what to do. Open your phone, and let me know when it's open. Everybody, open right here. Open right here. This side, the what's the name? Sparkles, sorry, my bad. Sparkle for Jesus, everybody, open phone. All right, now scroll and find the camera on your phone. Find the camera on your phone. You gotta move quickly. Find it. All right, you have it. Now, I want you to take a selfie. Take a selfie. Not a ussy. A selfie. Take a selfie. Anybody that don't have a phone? Jessica, take a selfie. Okay, all right. Ricky, did you take a selfie? You did. All right. Brittany, selfie, all right, take a selfie, everybody took a selfie, George, selfie, in the back, all right, All right, now I want you to open the picture. Open the picture, right, and send it to me. I'm kidding, don't do that. I'm kidding, don't do that. Don't do that. Open the picture, and real quick, I want you to look at the picture and tell me what you see. Just look at the picture and shout it out to me. Shout it out. I'm going to start over here. Look at the picture. Tell me what you see. A good-looking man. Tell me, I don't want to hear. Tell me exactly what you see. Tell me what you see. You see yourself. I appreciate that. You need to comb your beard. All right. What you see? You see what? You see I look cute. All right. A big smile. David, what you see? Happiness. All right. Brittany, what you see in the back? What you see? Look at the picture. Tell me what you see. You see? Content. All right. I'm not going to say Andre. Rachel, tell me what you see. What you say? Huh? Your glasses match your shirt. By the way, do we have any visitors here? Anybody here for the first time? So we all family? All right. Tell me your name, because that, Christina. All right. Everybody say, hi, Christina. All right. Christina, this is the first time here? No, because we've met before. Yeah, that's what I was saying. All right. Tell me what you see, Christina. You like your glasses. This is not your first time here. Sisters. Okay, yeah, because I remember you've been here before, right? I'm tripping. You've been here. Okay, all right. Did you take a picture? Tell me what you see. Tell me what you see. Black and beautiful. Pretty girl, tell me what you see right now. Tell me what you see. What you see? You don't know what you see. All right, I appreciate that. Karen, I'll take you. The hesitation in your face. Nate, did you take a picture? What you see? A funny guy. Okay, Sophie, what you see? Your eyebrows look nice. All right, Marilyn, what you see? You look like your son, Caden. All right. Tracy, what you see? Confidence. And Andre, I'm gonna finish with you. What you see? What you see? Pure wrinkles. All right. Thank you everybody for participating. Let us pray. It's close. I'm kidding. Let us all stand. We're going to read the scripture for today, which is found in Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read. You're going to read in your groups. We're going to do 1, 2. We're going to do group tribe of the Lion of Judah. We're going to do the hmms. And we're going to do the sparkles for sparkle. Sparkle for Jesus? So it's one sparkle. It's like you sparkle. So it's not like the sparkles isn't the thing? It's a verb. Oh. Okay. All right. You learn something every day. Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28. Yeah, we got enough. All right. So, tribe, you're going to read first, and I want it very loud. This is a competition. So let's see who's going to win this competition. And listen, you know, size, you know, doesn't matter. Right? Don't watch. Remember Goliath and David? Remember? Yeah, so y'all can come out on top. So here we go. After three, the tribe. Here we go. After three. 1, 2, 3.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness.
All right. How was that? How was that, guys? You guys get to judge. How was that? It was okay? How much out of 10? How much would you say out of 10? They're going to judge you too. Keep that in mind. 6 out of 10. You're 6 out of 10. Y'all 6 out of 10. Y'all want to go again? Ready? Y'all go again? All right, here we go. I don't think I'm going to let y'all go again. Okay? We don't have that much time. All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness.
Yes.
Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea.
All right.
Over the birds of the air.
Yes.
And over the cattle.
Yes.
Over all the earth.
Yes.
And over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
Amen. 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 All right. All right. The hmms. All right. Here we go. After three. Next verse. One, two, three.
So God created man in his own image.
Mm-hmm.
In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Amen. Amen. How was that? How was that? How was that, guys? How much you say? That was four. That was four. Right? You know what? That was 9.8. I'll give you guys 9.8. They tripping. All right, here we go. Next verse. One, two, three.
Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.
All right, put your hands together. Give yourself a round of applause. You may be seated. I think that was very equal. Everybody got 10 out of 10, A plus. This morning, my topic is take a selfie. Let's take a selfie. George, if you give me a little bit more in the monitors, I'll be absolutely grateful. Let's take a what, everybody? Let's take a selfie. There are so many of us, here in this church and in the world that have a problem with how they look. Body issues. There is a terminology, Ricky, that I found. It's called body shaming. Don't know what it means. I'm not going to get into that. But the fact of the matter is so many of us have a lack of or a full understanding or appreciation or love for the way they look. And it's a very important reason why I went around asking you to take a picture and tell me what you see. Because oftentimes, what God wants you to see, when you look at yourself, you don't see it. You don't see it. I want to share some quick facts with you. It says about half of Americans, 51%, say they feel pressured to have a certain body type. Women are 18% more likely than men to say they feel completely or somewhat pressured to have a particular body type. Share one more. More than 50% of adults from the U.S., the U.K., Australia, France, Germany reported experiencing weight stigma. This text in Genesis chapter 1. A matter of fact, this is the first assignment. I want you to discuss amongst your group. I want you to, we read the text, y'all read each verse, right? And I want you to talk amongst your group. I'm gonna give you guys 60 seconds. And I want just, at the very least, two things that you got from the text. We're in Genesis chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 26 to 28, all right? Genesis chapter 1, so you have 60 seconds. Talk amongst your group, and let me hear two things that you are pulling out. That you can pull out from the text that we just read. Here we go. Start. 60 seconds. Genesis chapter 1, and we read from verse 26 to 28. Talk amongst your group. Get everybody involved. And let's hear two things that you got from this text. Two things. 30 seconds.
Thank you.
10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. Let's come back together. I'm gonna start over here. Sparkle for Jesus. I want two things, but we gotta listen up. Two things that you got from the text. Go ahead.
One, that God created us in His image, in their image.
Okay.
And that He created human beings to multiply.
Okay, created. You were created in God's image, and multiply. Okay. Two things.
Well, she said one of them already was.
Say it again. It's fine. Say it again.
Created. Yes, we were made in glory, in His image.
We're being what?
Made in glory in His image.
Made in glory, in His image. I like that.
And that we have dominion over every living thing.
We have dominion over every living thing. You know what I'm saying? Lions.
Snakes.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Snakes. Huh. Dominion, Ricky, over everything. 2 points. You don't know how to turn it on. That's fine. There we go. Let me help you. There we go.
Basically what the last group said, that we were created in His image, that we have dominion over everything.
Okay. Dominion over everything. So pretty much the same thing they said. What does it mean when you, what do you mean when you say you were created in God's image? What do you mean by that? Go ahead. Andre, give her the mic. Yeah, keep it unmuted.
We're an extension of glory.
Break that down some more. Break it down.
So I see it as like Alani is my daughter.
Right.
Right. And I might be the prototype, but she's an extension of me, which means that she gets to have all of my weaknesses. Basically, are revamped in her, so she can kind of change those weaknesses into strengths.
Wow!
Right? She gets the benefit of seeing my failures, or if I have failures, but she gets the benefits of seeing things that I need to improve on and to become those improvements.
Okay. So in the context of God and you, so you gave me you and beautiful, pretty girl right there. In the context of God and you,
it helps me understand. It's a reminder that He is already perfect, and even though I am not perfect, because of His grace and His mercy, because of how sufficient He is, and His kindness towards me, I can strive to have, I'm not going to say perfection, but to share His heart posture, or to share His identity, like my sense of self and security is anchored in Him.
Come on, put the mic in your mouth. Say it one more time. Put it up there.
Oh,
say it. Yes. So that last part one more time.
So my identity is secured in Him. My sense of self.
Your sense of self.
Yeah, is anchored in Him.
Come on, somebody. Anybody else? Thank you so much. Anybody else? We got one more? What does it mean to be created? I got time for one more. Anybody else? Nobody else? Let me ask you this. A quick show of hands right now. Who feels as though they were created? I'm talking about how you feel. Who feel as though you were created in God's image? Okay. So we have some that feel and some that don't. Now, let me ask you one more thing. Have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror or taken a selfie and saw God's image? Raise a hand. Okay, one, two. It's a struggle, right? It's a struggle. Why? Why is it a struggle? We've read this text, I don't know, you've read, you know, Genesis chapter 1 a lot of times. Why is this something we struggle with? Get a mic. You know you were created in God's image. Sometimes you feel that way. Sometimes you have some people that don't ever feel that way. Some of us do. But I can't imagine that it's not always like that. Now you have days you don't feel like that. Why? Some of you are going to say something. Because of what?
Ultimately because of sin. I think the when we look at the story of Adam and Eve and the snake or the serpent coming to talk to Eve.
Yeah,
first.
You have a nice voice. Very soft. But I want to hear you. Yeah.
Initially, right? Yeah. The serpent, when we look at what his intent, it wasn't necessarily to say that God wasn't God, but it was to make us question what God's plans for us were, or what he said, what his directives were. So when we live in a world that technically is influenced by sin, it's hard for us to remember who God says we are, in addition to fighting what the devil implants in us.
Okay. All right. Sasha.
The part that you brought up about in the, I guess, Garden of Eden, how God made us like him. And that's the lie that the serpent told Eve. Like, you know, he was saying, you know, if you will be like God, basically, if you eat this fruit. But that's a lie already, because she was already like God. She was already created in God's image, but he lied and made her feel like she was missing something that she already had, and stole a lot else from her.
Wow.
All of us.
Wow. We got, use the mic. Go ahead. I'm going to go in the back and then I'll come to you. Just pass the mic down the back.
I think sometimes we listen to what society say that we should look.
Come on now. Come on now.
How we should feel, mm-hmm. rather than remembering that we were created in God's image.
Wow.
And what society says shouldn't matter. But sometimes we do let it dictate to us how we should feel about ourselves.
I'm going to stay there for a little bit. When you say society, what do you mean? Because this is society. So
this is society, but I think sometimes we let, you know,
how?
See on TV.
Okay.
What we see on social media.
Okay.
A lot of times, though, if you were to go to Instagram and Facebook and all of that,
mm-hmm.
especially our young kids,
right.
they look at that and that dictates their life and how they dress and what they eat.
Right, right, right. Do we have, and this is why I was like kind of, you know, pushing a little bit. Do we have that issue in the church? So do you come to church and feel as though the church dictate in some way, shape, or form how you should look? So, did sin distort God's image? It did? Who agree? Who agree? Who don't agree? Okay. One, two. You want clarification? I'm asking. The question is, did sin distort God's image? That is the question. It did not distort God's image. So if you were created in God's image, and we're saying because of sin, the narrative or how sin or one way in which sin affected us is how we see ourselves, right? That's what we're saying. So in that context, did it distort the image of God?
It did, because he came to restore that image, or the purpose of Jesus was to restore that image and then give us hope to maintain that image.
All right, I'm gonna leave it there. I'm gonna come to you, and then we're gonna check out what's on the presentation.
I think it kind of did. I think it did distort the image of God. But it's like, depends on whose perspective you're looking at it from. Like, it's like if you get a three pack of white tees, and take one of those T-shirts and put it in the ground.
Yeah, hold the mic. Hold it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you get like a three pack of white tees, and then you take one of those T-shirts, put mud, rub it in the mud, mm-hmm. now it's brown. Mm-hmm. Like, from the person who's seeing that first pack, that fresh pack of t-shirts, it doesn't look like it was ever right, but the manufacturer knows that it was right all along. So it depends on whose perspective you're looking at. And then, like, the sin is the mud.
I respect that. That take. I want to share something with you real quick. Okay, we talked about that, keys. The first point that we got from the text is that male and female were made into what? Male and female were made into what? Male and female were made into what? In the image of God. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man. By the way, do we know that us? Who is us? Is God and the angels? The Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that the Word became a what? A living what? A living what? Write it down. John chapter 1. Go read it when you go home. A living flesh. Bible also says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in what? All right. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I would say Holy Ghost, but my son would correct me. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea. The reason why I stress that male and female were created in the image of God, as a lot of minorities here in America, we identify with being oppressed, right? We is something so many of us struggle with, still deal with today, in many different ways. And I have come to find out, especially African Americans, the narrative is that we are the most oppressed people in the entire world. But if you travel the world and if you look closely, you will realize the most oppressed people in the world are women. In every single culture, women are second-class citizens. Some of them, even on paper. Do you know to this day, there are certain things women can't do? In certain cultures, there are certain positions that we won't say it boldly, but there are certain positions that we won't allow a woman to have. Do you realize in Genesis chapter 1 that God made man and woman equally? Somebody say equally. Equally. They were equally made in the image of God. It was not until after sin. Genesis chapter 3, there was a curse that God planned in labor, and you when you labor, you will feel pain and stuff like that. Genesis chapter 3, write it down, go read it. But prior to that, the original intent was for man and woman, who God made to be equal, and yet still, in 2024, we still struggle. Women being second-class citizens. Very interesting. So God created man in his own image. Genesis chapter 1, 27. He created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I want to talk a little bit about image of God. We talked about it, and you guys shared. The Hebrew word for image is salem. Salem. Everybody say it? Salem. Image is the salem, and it carries the thought of a carven or graven figure. Does that sound familiar, anybody? Does that sound familiar? Huh? Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. It says, you shall not, let's all read together. Everybody, 1, 2, 3. Let's go again. Let's go again together. One, two, three. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, that is in the water. Okay. This is the New King James Version. The King James Version says, graven image. You shall not make for yourself a graven image. Now, the reason God is saying here, don't make any graven image, is because he already made an image of himself. He already made an image of himself. And he gave a specific instructions as to how you go about replicating that image. What did he say? Somebody said it over here. To be what? To be what? And multiply. Now, where's the thing? Now, God already made images of himself, right? What does the image of God means? Now, I did anybody have a AirPod? Anybody have an AirPod? Yeah, AirPods. Anybody have AirPods? No? I did a thing. I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago. It was during the pandemic, actually. Yes, let me, this one is perfect here. No, I did, there was a sermon I talked about, I preached about 2.5 years ago in the pandemic, and I talked about the fact that there are three factors in which, three elements to each and every one of us. There is the body, all right, everybody knows that, you're a pinch yourself, that's the body. There is the soul, and the soul is what, anybody know? Anybody know? It's the emotions, you know, the feelings and everything that lives there. That's the soul. And there is the spirit. The spirit. Now, the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, the spirit of God is in us. If you go to Romans chapter 8, I don't have it in here. Romans chapter 8, and yes, all right, go ahead.
My mom said, what's the difference between soul and spirit?
We're going to get there. Good, very good question. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Nope, yes. God's spirit, anybody have it? Romans chapter 8, 16. Go ahead. You have the mic? Go ahead. Read it for me, please. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 16.
Spirit itself beareth witness our spirit that we are children of God.
So read it one more time.
The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit.
Stop right there. The spirit is saying God's spirit bears witness. In other words, communicates with our spirit. Read the rest.
That we are children of God.
That we are what?
Children of God.
Have you ever find yourself in a situation where you were doing something and your mind told you, Kevin, don't do it? Or have you ever been driving and your mind told you, don't drive that way. Turn left instead. Take another route. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever find yourself, you make a decision that you wouldn't normally make, and then you question yourself, why did I do that? Or even if in your explanation, talking about it, maybe you're testifying, you say, a Jamaican would say, man, my mind tell me. You know, my mind tell me, Andre, if it does turn right. You know, my mind told me, something told me that I should just stop, you know? Or maybe you're at the front, Ricky, of the you know, you're at the stoplight and you're at the front. The rules of the street, if you're at the front in your car driving, you're the one driving at the front, you shouldn't be on your phone. Now, if you're second, third, and so you can be on your phone. That's the rules of the street. That's not the law, that's the rules. I digress. Now, what I'm saying here is that, you know, you are there, right? You're paying full attention. The light turns green, and there's a hesitation. You don't move off immediately. And you realize immediately an accident or somebody broke the stoplight. That happened to you before? Paul is saying here in Romans chapter, was that 8? That God's spirit talks to the spirit that's in you. The spirit that is in you, here's the answer, is the image you were created in. Now, what is that? The character of God. You can't love unless you have that spirit. As a matter of fact, you will have the spirit. And if you don't tap into the spirit, then no matter what you do, there's no good. David says that even the very child was born evil. There is no good in us unless God is present. Now, some of us as Christians, we do our very best to display that spirit. And so we see something mean, and we respond the way God, you know, would respond. We respond in kind. But sometimes the truth is, Kevin, I tell God, forget you. I'm going to respond, man. This is, you're going to try. Don't try me like that. That's not flesh. You know, that's the flesh. And the reason I ask for, this is an absolute. This is an absolute. This is a perfect, nice thing with a, you know what I mean? It's very beautiful. Right? Now, imagine for a second, this, the outer case, the outer casing is the body. Imagine, right? That's the body. This purple thing, right? That's the body. Let's imagine that for a second. The white, see, the white, so now the purple thing can come off, right? The white, the casing, is the soul. The soul is the emotions. It's, you know, something happened and it made you cry. Something happened and it made you laugh. You feel some sort of, because God is a God of feeling. You know, God feels. The spirit is the actual AirPod. Sometimes the body is broken. So, you know, kids play with it and whatnot. Give it to Alex and he'll break it. Break it off. Still break off. All right? But is it still functional? Yeah? Is it still good? Right? Sometimes the casing will even be scratched or something happen or whatnot. But you know what's never broken? You know what's never broken? Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Society, and sometimes we blame the devil too much. Sometimes we give the devil too much credit. But the truth is that society and yourself, when you look at yourself, right? Sometimes it's not just society. Sometimes it's you. Sometimes it's us. You look at yourself and you don't see what God intended for you to see. You may know him, there is a pastor, his name is Pastor Preston. He has been here a plethora of times. Very nice gentleman, very, very nice gentleman. Many years ago in 2019, it was November 2019, they visited us, they came here, sitting down, they were sitting back there, we had service, and I was after service, I was sitting down beside him, and I was talking to him, Shireen, and he said, and I was sharing with him, yeah, we're pregnant, we're getting ready to have baby, and I'm asking, and I was asking everybody, so I asked him, so give me a tip, like a father, give me something. He was like, all right, and he pulled me away. We're sitting together with his wife, Sister Preston, and another lady, and he pulled me away, Kevin, in a corner, and he said, when your son is born, right, you're going to go over to him, and they're going to ask if you want to cut the cord. You want to cut the cord? Yes, I do. That's what I said. I want to cut, yeah, I want to cut that thing. I want to do it, you know? And he said, I want you to say, the first thing I want you to say to him is that he was made in the image of God. And then I want you to speak the name of Jesus over him. And then I want you to call him by his name. He said that to me. And it penetrated my heart so much, Ricky. So much. I went home, I told Renee, and I was like, I don't know if anybody, I don't know if my parents did it, I have no idea. But I don't know. I cannot remember not one time somebody telling me that I was made in the image of God. I've read it multiple times. I've read it multiple times, Andre. So many times. I've studied Genesis 1. But I don't know that someone ever told me that I was made in the image of God. Can't ever remember, can't recall. And the reason I'm emphasizing that is because the anxiety that we face and deal with, the body issues and the body shaming that we deal with, the self-esteem issues that we deal with as men and women, it's because that foundation is broken. We haven't come to the realization that, yeah, we look different. We look different, but we're all made in the image of God. I'm going to say something. I don't mean to speak on what you said there, but I'm going to say something. One shouldn't be able to identify beauty with a certain color. You've heard this before. Man, she's so black and beautiful. Man, she's so toned and beautiful. Beauty is beauty. And I'm not tripping because I've done it too in school. Come on, we all do it. You know, you get in an argument with somebody, you're ugly. You know you're talking about God's image when you do that. Yeah. Yeah. You are. We're all made in the image of God. Calling someone, I'm not talking about their behavior. It's completely different to describe one's behavior as ugly and to call somebody ugly. And you say to somebody, you are ugly. You are literally telling God, that's God's image. They were made in the image of God. There is something unique about every single one of us. And it's not just about the assignment that God has placed on our lives, but I'm talking about our absolute identity. Who you are, there's no other Ricky. There's nobody else in the world like this young man here, Mr. Andre. There's nobody else. Nobody else. No matter how much Caden look and resemble you, Marilyn, completely different. Do you know the amount of DNA that's in your body? And they might be identical, but I promise you something. We all have something super, super in common. And it just blew my mind. It blew my mind when I found this out. It is 12:51. Where, it was just 12:30. Did we skip the clock? What in the world? All right, 12:51. All right, I'm gonna skip this. Now, what does the image of God means? There is a rational side of God, rational. So if you look, now I'm gonna say this real quick. I'm gonna talk very fast. Nobody else was created in the image of God. No animal, no giraffe. No lion, not even the angels. They were not created in the image of God. It was just man and woman, just us. We're very special. Now, you think rational. Somebody just tell me real quick. What rational, what does that mean? What does that mean? Somebody, anybody? So, it makes sense. It makes sense. So if we do something and it didn't work, and we say, oh, maybe, all right, let me change this. Let me do it different. You know what I'm saying? So maybe you were making some veggie tofu. Right? You were cooking and you burned it a little bit. You know the next time you do it, you're gonna turn the stove down. It's rational. Makes sense. Moral. Now, you really and truly, you gotta teach a child the principles of good, right? You have to. You. I promise you, every parent in here never taught their child to be bad, and I promise you, they displayed bad characteristics before they did good. Don't have to teach them. Don't have to teach them. And what I'm trying to say is the point is. There is a morality, morals identify what is good from what is evil. Real quick, I was talking to my son last night. He was playing and whatnot, and he threw a car and hit me dead right in my face, right? And then he ran away. So his mom called him back. She was like, that's selfish. When you do something that is not kind or that causes harm or hurt, you acknowledge it. What do you do? So he came, he said, I'm sorry. And then I had a very long conversation with him about consequences. And so he wanted to sleep with a little toy under his pillow. And I told him, no, there's a consequence for the action. So he didn't get to know that he slipped. Because I told him no. I told him I was going to do it. No. And I explained, I broke it down to him. Explain why it was important to sometimes deal with the consequence of our actions, all right? And so he went to bed, and after he fell asleep, I tucked that car under his pillow. And then this morning I said to him, David, I said, he woke up, I said, good morning. Morning, son. He said, good morning. I said, look under the pillow. And he looked under the pillow, he saw the car, he smiled. And I said, you know what that? He was like, yes, my red car. No, I'm not talking about what that is. I know you know what that is. Remember what I told you last night? You were not going to get this. But it's there, right? Yeah. What is that? And I said, that's grace. It's grace, son. Well, what is grace? And I told him what grace was. That's what God does. God said in the day we sin, it says, the day we eat from that fruit, we will surely die. Now, the Hebrew word for surely and the Hebrew word for die is the same word. In other words, the Bible said we're going to die plus tax. There's no if, no but, nor maybe. We're going to die. But grace is us falling asleep and God putting that thing under the pillow. Yeah. Yeah, that's what grace is. We didn't die immediately. We're still going to die. We're not going to, not immediately. So we got a chance to experience life. We got a chance to relive some of that same relationship that they used to walk with Jesus every day. They used to talk with God every day. Every single day in the garden, when they prayed, it wasn't on their knees, heads bowed and everything. It was, what's up? How are you? Lord, today I was walking the east side of the garden. I saw the lion. Yeah, it was like that. They talked to God. And so they got a chance. To be fruitful and multiply and to repair some of that damage that was done to the relationship that their actions had caused, that brokenness. I'm going to say this one thing and I'm done. Shireen, somebody give Shireen the mic, please. I want to, oh, Lord, this is, anybody know what that is? Anybody know what that is? It's a shoe, right? Is that prettier? What would you say? No, you don't like it? You know, it's what? It's a tire. It's a tire. Yeah. It's a tire. Do you know the cost to make that shoe is about $15 US? It's about $15 US. It costs to make the shoe, right? By itself, it's absolutely nothing. I mean, you would never buy that for, I wouldn't take it for free. I'll be barefoot. I'll just walk. It's fine. I know my foot is bleeding, but it's okay. I'm good. Wouldn't do that. Wouldn't do it, right? But when you put a name on it, it's now worth $1,250. Balenciaga. A shoe that costs $15, all right, to make. Balenciaga took it, and they slapped their name on it. And now it's being sold for $1,250. And so I was curious. I was like, this particular shoe, I want to know how much money they've made so far off this shoe. And can anybody guess right now? Want to guess? $980 million. $980 million. Now, I bring this out because this is very important, right? This is very important, very, very important, right? It's not just the image that you portray. It is the image that you were made in. You are valuable. Every single person in here is valuable, regardless of what society says, regardless of what the world says. Every single person in here is valuable, not because you're white, not because you're black, not because you make six figures, not because you have a degree, not because you don't. The only reason you are valuable is because God said, let us make man in our image. And so he saw it fit. We did the damage. We sinned. And we broke that separation. We would have been in the Garden of Eden right now. I'll be eating the best, absolute best mangoes. I wouldn't have this phobia for snakes that I have. It would be amazing right now. But we messed it up. And God said, you are so valuable to me that I'm going to leave perfection. I'm going to come down here on earth. And I'm going to give my life so that one day we can be together like that in the garden. Me, the snakes, the lions, everything together, Kevin. God's name is on you. He said, you are above and not beneath. You are a lender and not a borrower. But my bank account don't look like I'm a lender. The truth is I can't. My bank account don't look like it. You know, faith is something I've grown to realize. If it's not crazy, it's not faith. If I can pay for it, if I can afford it, it's not faith. And I'm not talking about just material things here. I'm saying God gave you an assignment. God told you, go start that business. Yeah, that building over there, I want you to go buy that building. Go figure that thing out. But God, we can't afford a building. We can't afford it. We're just college students. We can't do it. Can't do it. Won't be able to sustain. You don't worry about it. I'm telling you to do it. If I give you the instructions and the assignment to go do it, I'll provide. Now, faith is going into the bank. Your credit score is low. You ain't got no money. And yet still you walk out with the keys and you get in from the building and you hold it up and the realtor take the picture, Kevin. Smile. Congratulations. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Faith is people telling you you can't afford. Don't buy the building. You can't afford it. That's what they told us. You can't afford to buy a church. Don't buy a church. But God didn't give them the assignment. God gave us. Which is why you got to be careful. I said this a couple of weeks ago. Whoever has your ear has your future. Who are you listening to? Who are you going to listen to? Who died for you? Huh? Who are you going to spend time listening to? All right, so I was trying to wrap up. What is laminin? Laminin. Anybody know what laminin is? Just real quick. Just raise your hands. Raise your hands. Anybody? Nobody. You know what it is? Sasha, you know what it is? All right. Don't say anything else. You know what it is. All right, so Shireen, you know what it is? Bend the back. All right. Now, it's very interesting because everybody that said they know what it is a medical provider. One, two. All right. Lisa and Shireen. Lisa's going to do it. Just real quick. Tell us exactly what laminin is. Go ahead.
So this is a collaborative effort.
Oh, okay.
Of all the nurses here on this side. So we have cells in our bodies, and we have different types of cells that do different types of things. But we also have things that make up cells.
All right.
And every cell has to do certain function. It needs to create energy to do all of those functions.
Mm-hmm.
And laminin has two functions. It's what's called a glycoprotein, to break it down. That's
all right.
All you're going to get with that. But the glycoprotein laminin has two functions. Mm-hmm. One is that it helps to regulate the cell's activities.
Okay.
Right? And then the second thing is that it helps to, like, specify genetic, like, activity. So you've got a cell, but then it's like, oh, you're supposed to be heart, you're supposed to be muscle, you're supposed, like, so it kind of brings specificity or specific work responsibility, right? Would you say that? To genetic makeup.
All right, to genetic. Everybody understand? Everybody, all right, round of applause, yeah, nice. Who didn't get that? Who didn't get it? Tracy didn't get it. Let me break it down how I understand it, right? So,
or Sasha.
In the body there are cells. Want to know what cells are? Google it. Okay. In the body there are cells, right? Every tissue, Lisa, is made up of cells, right? Cells made up of millions of cells. All right. So in the body there are cells. Cells is like, is it the smallest one? Is it the lowest one? So the almost, all right. So this, what makes up the cell is the laminin?
Right,
It's part of the makeup of the cell. Of the cell. Right. All right. So the laminin helps to make up the cell. Am I right or wrong? Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So everybody have laminin. All of us. Oh, wait, you. Why are you trying to preach my sermon? All right. So all of us have what? Everybody? Everybody have what? All right. So I'm talking to a friend of mine. I'm telling him, yeah, I'm speaking tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. I'm tired. And he was like, yeah. I gave him the premise of the message, and he shared with me. He's like, "Yeah, you ever heard about laminin?" And I'm like, "No, I haven't." He was like, "Look it up." You just did? Did you just look it up? You just can't wait. He said, "Look it up." Now I did. I looked it up. We all have laminin. Remember I told you in the beginning we're made in the what? In the image or makeup. So, and I showed you the ear pods. I broke it down. The body is on the outside. The white casing is the what? The soul. And the ear pods is the what? So it's hidden in there. The spirit is hidden. It is cemented in there, right? Without the spirit, there is no soul. Without the spirit, there is no body. It's in there. Now, this is the laminin. What does that resemble? The cross. The cross. God saw. He saw, Ricky. He saw. You know, he made this world for us to enjoy. And we can get you can get the musicians. I don't know, we're done. We're done right now. He made this world. He saw that we're going to mess it up. And he said, listen, I'm a place inside you, inside you, inside you, inside each and every one of us. I'm going to place something that no matter what the devil try, he can't break it. I'm going to place something inside you that no matter what the world tell you, it can't be broken. I'm going to place something that is so unique. It's so unique. Laminin. God said, I'm going to place the cross. I'm going to place the cross inside you. Yeah. So I know you feel broken. I know you've been rejected. I know you've been oppressed. I know you've been mistreated. I know your spouse don't behave like he or she loves you. I know your wife left you. I know your husband left you. I know you lost your mom. I know you lost your dad. I know you've lost your brother. As parents, I know you've lost your children. But let me tell you something. No matter how much or how far they run from me, I am still inside them. And when they won't pick up your call, when they won't answer you, when you brought them up right, you taught them what to do, you taught them every single thing you knew to teach them, and yet still they're turning their back, not just on you, but they're turning their back on me. But the Bible said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. It simply means on bad days, he's going to follow you. On good days, he's still going to follow you. And he's not following you because you deserve to be followed. He's following you because he made you in his image. He loves you. He loves you. Every single person here, he says, listen, you are worth it. You are worth dying for. You're going to mess up a million and one time. You're still worth it. All A students, you're worth it. All F students, you're worth it. Criminals, you're worth it. There is a statement that we make. He loves us. Y'all can sing that. There's a statement that we make sometimes as Christians that God don't bless mess. You better hear that? You heard it before? You've heard it? You've never heard it before? God don't bless mess. Yeah. God don't bless mess. We say this all the time. God don't bless mess. Now let me ask you a question. When have you ever been perfect? When have you ever... You're always a mess. On your best day, you're still messy. And God is saying, listen, I still think you're worth it. The crazy thing is the world, sometimes we tell ourselves, we're not worth it. So I'm going to fix myself first and then come to God and make myself presentable. But no matter how hard you work, no matter how hard you try, you cannot fix what you didn't make. Can't fix it. You can't fix what you didn't make. You didn't make yourself. Huh? All them trillions, I don't know if it's trillions and billions of cells, you didn't, you. And even when you're a scientist and when you're a medical professional and you can understand it, you can understand it to explain it. And you can even use stem cell research to try and recreate it. But I charge the scientist, I charge the doctor to make something out of nothing. You see, what they do is they use something to make things. But there's not one person or man alive that can create something out of nothing. A matter of fact, think about it right now. Think about something that don't exist. think about it right now. And you tell me, no, planes. There was a time when planes wasn't there. There were birds. How do you think they came about with planes? They looked at the bird, and I want to try that sometime. They got the principle of flying from something God made. There is absolutely nothing you can think of. Nothing at all. God is saying you're special. He's saying, listen, I put that cross inside each and every one of you. That's the one thing we all have in common. We don't look alike. Some of us are brown, white, black. We're from different backgrounds. You're from different places. The one thing we have in common, the very foundation of every cell, is something that resembles the cross. Oh God, we serve an amazing God. A God that loves you so much. And so right now, I'm done. I just want to quickly ask this one question. You're struggling with God's image. You're struggling with God's image. You wanna get up, you wanna get to the place where every single time you take a selfie, it's not about the hair, it's not about your beard, it's not about the glasses, it's not about the clothes, but every time you look at yourself, you see I was made in the image of God. You're reminded that God loves you. And that's something you want. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to call you up here with me. I'm going to call you up here. That's something that you want. Every time you look in the mirror, every single time you take a picture, come up here with me. Yeah, God, restore your image. I have broken that image. The image isn't broken, but the perception of that image is broken inside me. I have done something to cause my mindset to be different. Whereas I look at myself and I don't even see your intent. Yeah. Yeah. I want to see it now. I want every single time I look in the picture, I want to see God's image. I want to see I was made in the image of God. It's the one thing. When I get to the place where I really see that, where I really believe that, now how I behave will be different. You, most of us, if not all of us, have issues with faith. And I promise you, if you start at the very foundation, if you start down right there in the laminin, realizing that there is cross inside of you, there is something inside of you that no matter how much God said, listen, no matter, you know, there's a song, I can't stand a song. The rhythm, the melody is amazing. There's a song that says, I'm chasing after you. No matter what I have to do, more and more. It's a beautiful song. It's nice. The premise and the theology of that song, though, is flawed. Because I nowhere can I chase after God, DC. You know why? God is with me. I don't want him. Sometimes I don't want him to be with me. Sometimes I don't invite him. But he's right there with me. He's right there with you. In the storm, in that chaos, he's right there with you. Yeah. Sometimes he goes as far as, you know, I can't make it no more. I can't move on no more. I can't take another step. He's like, it's fine. Let's sit in the mud together. Let me carry you. Why? He loves us. He loves us. Come on, let's sing that one more time. We're going to pray. Come on. He loves, say,
he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
Yes.
Oh, how
he loves us.
Oh, how he loves us.
Come on, say it. He loves us, say.
He loves us.
Oh, how
he loves us.
Yes.
Somebody,
yeah, he loves you.
He loves, yeah.
We love you. But the truth is, God, you love us so much more. Because what you would think to give up, we wouldn't. In fact, God, Lord, we're reminded every single day in some way, shape, or form of your love for us. And the truth is, sometimes we don't even acknowledge, sometimes we don't even realize. For various reasons, God, we struggle. We struggle understanding and realizing we were made in the image of God. That there is so much of you in each and every one of us. So cause us to remember every single day so we can act like you, so we can love like you love. We can show grace like you show grace. Teach us how to love, Father. Help us to understand how you love us so much. Why you love us so much. So we can love ourselves. The truth is, so many issues we deal with, it stems from a lack of love for the very person you created. A lack of love for ourselves. So remind us every single day that we were made for something special. Remind us every single day that you have called us for something special, that there is an anointing on our lives that God, no devil and no demon can take. Remind us that you gave up perfection, you gave up heaven, and you came here on earth and you died for us. Despite the fact that we were going to betray you, despite the fact that we were going to turn our backs on you, despite the fact that we're not going to treat each other as though we are made in God's image, you still did it. You still did it. God, help us not to take it in vain. Remind us every day that we are all prince and princesses of the Most High God. That you went away to prepare a place for us because we're special. That you are planning to spend forever with us. So God, help us to choose you. Matter of fact, God, we choose you this morning. We choose to be with you, God. We choose you over every single earthly and fleshly things, God. The things or flesh that's drawing us and pulling us away. God, we choose you this morning. Anybody just want to choose Jesus? Jesus, in the dark times, we want to choose you. God, in the middle of the storm, we want to choose you. When everything is going right, we want to choose you, God. We want to choose you on the good days, on the bad days. We want to choose you, God, when we have answers for everything, when we don't have answers for anything. God, we choose you. Remind us we belong to you. And God, may every single time we are reminded, may it cause our hearts and our minds and even our face to smile. You created us for us to have life, but not just life, but an abundance. Father, you said eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard. So, Father, we're claiming all the promises that you've made for us this morning. Some of us, we're standing up because we want every single time, God, we look in a mirror, we look at a picture. We don't see what the world, what we were taught to see, Father, indirectly or directly, but we see the image of God. May it make a difference in our lives from this day on out. May we never forget that you made us in your image. Father, forgive us of all the wrongs that we've done, every single thing we're going to do tomorrow, the day after and the day after. Forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.